The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I used to care so much about portraying a perfect life and acting like everything was okay when really things were far from it. I was secretly struggling with my mental health and wondering if other people were too. That's why I created RealPod. Hi, I'm Victoria Garrick Brown, and every Wednesday I host the types of conversations that most of us only have in therapy. RealPod brings you the heart-to-heart moments we all need to be having and will leave you feeling comforted no matter where you're at in life. So leave the filters at the door, because it's time to get real. Tune into RealPod wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Mariana. I am the co-founder of Summer Fridays and host of the Life with Mariana podcast. In today's episode, I've got Jim Quick, and he's a renowned expert in brain performance. He's an author and also a podcast host. And in this episode, I found myself wanting to take so many notes of things that I want to apply, things that I'm doing that I know I could improve, and areas for improvement for my own self. I think this episode is a wealth of knowledge that would be helpful for you and probably someone in your life. So if you find yourself listening to this, I really just urge you to send it to a friend, a family member, someone you love that you think this could be helpful for. And his book is amazing and a really great resource. And I want to send it to a few of you along with some Summer Fridays products. So if you are listening to this episode, just screenshot and post it on your Instagram stories and tag the two of us so we can send it to a few of you. His Instagram is Jim, JimKwik. And in this episode, it is a deep dive into the fascinating world of brain health and personal development. And in this episode, Jim shares what he calls the 10 keys for a limitless brain. You're going to get practical advice and strategies to get the full potential of our minds, from optimizing nutrition to managing stress levels. These are really keys to unlock all the possibilities for our cognitive enhancement and just overall well-being. So whether you're looking to improve your memory, enhance your focus, or just simply live more mindfully, this episode is filled with so many actionable tips that will just transform the way you think, learn, and perform. So I hope you guys are ready to hear from Jim so you can take steps towards a more empowered, efficient, and limitless brain. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast because I've got new episodes every Tuesday. So for people that don't know you, you had challenges as a child from brain injury. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened and how did that play a big role into your life moving forward?
Yeah. So if people see me speak, I'm in front of a good 300,000 people a year speaking at conferences, and I do these demonstrations where maybe if there's time, we'll pass around a microphone in an audience and everyone will introduce themselves and I'll memorize 100 people's names, or they'll give me 100 random numbers or words and I'll recite them forwards and backwards. But I always tell people, I don't do this to impress you. I really do this to express to you what's possible. Because the truth is, every single person that's listening to this right now, you could do that and a whole lot more. You just were not taught. And, you know, in school, they teach you what to learn, math, history, science, Spanish, but there are no classes on how to actually learn, how to focus, how to remember. And so my inspiration really was my desperation. The reason why I know it's possible for each and every one of you is because I grew up with severe learning difficulties. When I was 5 years old, I was in kindergarten class and I had a bad accident. I went headfirst into a radiator and rushed to the emergency room. And where I really showed up was in school. I had poor focus, a poor memory. I would get these migraines every single day when I was 5, 6 years old. I just thought it was normal. I had balance issues. It took me 3 years longer to learn how to just read. When I was 9 years old, I was being teased by classmates in a particular class because I just wasn't understanding the lesson, and kids could be a little bit harsh. But a teacher came to my defense. She pointed to me in front of the whole class and said, "Leave that kid alone. That's the boy with the broken brain." And that, you could say, that label became my limit. I struggled all through school, and every single time I did badly in school or wasn't picked for sports, which was like daily, I would say to myself, "Oh, because I have the broken brain." So I had a lot of self-doubt, self-esteem issues. And eventually when I turned 18, I found a mentor and I just started studying the mind. I'm like obsessed answering this question, like how does your brain work so you could work your brain? How does your memory work so you could work your memory better? And it's interesting how the struggles in our life could become strengths. My two biggest challenges growing up or learning. And because I never knew the answer, public speaking, and life has a sense of humor because all I do is public speak on this thing called learning, you know, every single day. So I help people with their focus, help them read faster, understand more, think clearer, make better decisions, and remember anything they need to, facts, figures, foreign languages, you name it. But I'm just passionate about showing people what their brain is capable of.
So you're living proof that we can work on these things and that with time and using these things, there's improvement to be made. So never to feel stuck in the way that we are today.
I love that. Yeah. The name of my book, bestseller, is called Limitless. And, you know, that's what I really believe. It's the philosophy that we could redraw the borders and boundaries of what's possible. And I think today, your listeners, nobody is paid just, it's not like it was hundreds of years ago where it was like our brute strength. Today, it's our brain strength. It's not no longer our muscle power where we're compensated. It's really our mind power. And I think an individual's ability to learn rapidly and translate that learning into action is the ultimate competitive advantage. If you can learn how to learn better, you could apply that towards money, medicine, marketing, you know, martial arts, music, Mandarin. Everything gets so much easier. And the faster you can learn, the faster you could earn.
I think so too. And as I've gotten older, I think maybe when I was in my 20s, I didn't think much about brain health. And the older I get, I realize how important it is. My mom's in her 70s, my dad's in his 80s. And if anyone talked to or meets my dad, they cannot believe he's in his late 80s because of how sharp he is. And I think it's because of the things that he's done in time in his life. And I see now it's given me a lot of hindsight to say like, okay, this is how I would love to be. If I could be as smart and as fast as him when I'm in my late 80s, like these are the things I know I need to put into practice now. And I know for him, it's a lot of how he takes care of his body, his mental health. So what is that connection between physical health and brain health? And what are some of those lifestyle habits that we can do that impact us positively for decades to come?
Yeah, let's jump into this. We could turn this into a little masterclass. I want to make it very practical and pragmatic for everybody. Clearly, there's a mind-body connection. There's also a body-mind connection. It's kind of a two-way street. Your brain is only 2% of your body mass, but it requires 20% of the nutrients and the oxygen. It's kind of an energy hog. The brain, it's fascinating. If anyone's listening to this wants to improve their self-esteem, they should just study their brain. It's so fascinating. You know, these 86 billion brain cells that have upwards of 10,000 synaptic connections, potentially more connections than there are stars in the universe. And that's a gift that we are born with. It just doesn't come with an owner's manual and it's not user-friendly. Limitless is heavily endorsed by the founding director of the Cleveland Clinic Center for Brain Health, the top Alzheimer's researcher out of Harvard University, Dr. Rudy Tanzi. And when I speak for these institutions, we know that about 1/3 of your brain is predetermined by genetics and biology, but 2/3 is in your influence and your control, which is very encouraging. With some people understanding epigenetics, some people believe they have 100% influence on their brain's output and performance. So there are 10 levers that fall within those 2/3, and I could go through them very quickly. And what I recommend everybody is, one of the principles of accelerated learning is the brain doesn't learn best through consumption. It learns best through creation and co-creation. So I would encourage everyone to be active in this because I think learning is not a spectator sport. And while you're listening to it, if you can take notes, I encourage it because there's this learning curve, but there's also a forgetting curve. Research shows that when you hear something on a podcast or on YouTube or, you know, read it in a book or hear it at a conference, within 2 days, you forget 80% of it. And so I'll teach you some methods on how to fix that. But the exercise here, as I go through all 10 keys for a limitless brain, for any age or stage that you're at, jot down a number 0 to 10, like how much, 10 being the most, how much energy and effort, attention did you put into this category the past, let's say, 7 days, all right? And Mariana, maybe you could do this also. You know, you don't have to share your results, but it'd be interesting kind of self-assessment. So number one is a good brain diet. And so what you eat matters, especially for your gray matter, a whole area of science that we write about called neuronutrition. And so there's certain foods that are more neuroprotective that support a great brain. Some of my favorites, avocados, blueberries, very neuroprotective. I like to call them brain berries. Broccoli is good for the brain, high in something called sulforaphane. Number four, let's say olive oil. Wonderful for the brain. If your diet allows eggs, The choline in eggs is good for cognitive health and performance. Number six, green leafy vegetables like kale, spinach. Seven, wild salmon or sardines. These are your essential fatty acids, omega-3s, and your brain is mostly fat. Number, let's say eight, is turmeric, which has that kind of golden spice. Number nine, I'll throw one of my favorites, walnuts. High in vitamin E, very neuroprotective. They even look like the human brain, as a reminder to eat more walnuts. And then everyone's favorite, dark chocolate. So
dark chocolate's a good one.
Yeah, dark chocolate. Not milk chocolate, not high sugar, but generally what's good for your mood is going to be good for your mind.
You know those memes that's like you're trying to figure out your hair wash days to align with your schedule? I feel like that is endlessly me, and I am always trying to plan around doing my hair because it is sometimes so time consuming, especially when you're concerned about frizz. And then you're just thinking about like, what else could I be doing with my time instead? There's a product that I love that really made my blowouts and even when I air dry my hair that much long lasting, so I didn't have to worry about washing my hair again. And that is Way's new anti-frizz cream. You are too busy to be frizzy, so grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. With summer and warmer weather coming around, I know especially this is something I need as I go into warmer summer months. Anti-frizz cream is a time-saving addition to my routine because it really makes my blowout last that much longer. It has the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent with notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. Heat damage is really important to me because I'm always styling my hair and I really want to take care of it in those days that I am blow drying it. So it really helps to prevent heat damage. But when I air dry my hair as well, it just makes my hair look so much better. But it's also lightweight all at the same time. So it provides immediate frizz control. It lasts up to 72 hours. It's heat protection up to 450 degrees. It even helps to reduce and repair split ends. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Mariana15 for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Mariana15.
So if you're close to something like that, you know, on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the best, on the other side, that would bring your number down would be highly refined foods, a lot of chemicals, high sugar. We have a podcast and we recently did an episode on glucose spikes and your insulin resistance. And that could really wreak havoc on your health, not only just make you retain weight, but also inflammation for your brain. And that could be a challenge. So number two is killing ants is good for your brain. And ants, not the insect, it's an acronym, ANT, automatic negative thoughts. For our research, I realized that our thoughts become things, right? And your brain is this incredible supercomputer and your self-talk is a program it will run. So if you tell yourself, I'm not good at, I don't know, remembering people's names, you won't remember the name of the next person you meet because you program your supercomputer not to. And so at events, when they see I'm a memory coach or a brain coach, they often say, I'm so glad you're here. They pull me aside in the lobby and say, I'm just not smart enough. You know, I'm too old. I have a horrible memory. And I always say the same thing. I always say, stop. If you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. If you fight for your limits, they're yours. And so I would encourage people to have encouraging thoughts. And even if you find yourself, that's not that. If you truly understood how powerful your mind is, you wouldn't say or think something you didn't want to be true. And that's not to say you have a negative thought and it ruins your life any more than eating a donut will ruin your life. But if you eat that donut 20 or 30 times a day, every single day, there'll definitely be consequences, right? So even if you find yourself saying something like, I don't have a great memory, something people could easily do is just add a little word like yet at the end. I don't have a great memory yet. And it just opens up the possibility. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how positive, encouraging, constructive are your thoughts? 10 being the best. Number three is a big one, exercise. I have this mantra that says, as your body moves, your brain grooves. As your body moves, your brain grooves. Talking about that, not just a mind-body connection, but a body-mind connection, that using your body in certain ways stimulates your brain. We have a video that has, you know, so many millions of views that just suggesting using your left hand to eat or using your left hand to brush your teeth, because it stimulates a different part of your brain if you're right-handed, right? And I would say that when you move your body, let's say when people are listening to this podcast and this conversation and they're doing something rhythmically, they're on elliptical, they're going for a brisk walk, you'll actually retain the information better and understand the information better. When you move your body, you create something called brain-derived neurotrophic factors, BDNF. And that's, what is it? It's like fertilizer for your brain to create new brain cells, new connections through neuroplasticity. And so even strength training, when you strength train, you create dopamine, serotonin, endorphins. And these neurotransmitters that are so important for cognitive health and cognitive performance. And so on a scale of 0 to 10, this past week, how much have you not only been exercising, but moving? They say sitting is the new smoking. And, you know, I spent a lot of time behind a computer and these screens, it's a challenge. So I recommend everybody takes like a 5-minute brain break every hour if they can to do 3 things, to hydrate. You'll notice I'm just drinking because your brain is 75% water. And just staying hydrated will boost your reaction time and your thinking speed upwards of 30%. On our podcast, we had a neuroscientist talk about if you're just dehydrated 2%, it could significantly compromise your cognitive health and cognitive performance. So during that brain break, hydrate, breathe. A lot of people are tired because they're just not getting enough oxygen. So you could do some breathing exercises. And number 3, move. Move your body. Number 4 are brain nutrients. And this is an interesting category. So this is the area of nootropics. And some of your listeners might be familiar with the term. Basically, I prefer people get their vitamins and minerals through food, right? If you're not eating eggs, the choline in eggs, you could supplement with choline, which is a precursor for acetylcholine, which is so important for your brain health. If you're not eating that salmon or sardines that we talked about earlier, you might want to supplement with omega-3, DHA, and so on. So you can do a nutrient profile because you can learn, you know, some of the amazing speed reading, memory, focusing techniques that we teach. But if your brain is lacking certain key nutrients, it's not going to perform the way you desire and the way that you really deserve. But besides that, there's this category called nootropics. And nootropics are different than just for your cognitive health. These are the areas that these are supplements you could take that could dramatically improve your cognitive performance overall. And so some of my favorites, and we talk about this in Limitless Expanded, ashwagandha. It's an adaptogenic herb that improves mental and physical resilience. Something I'm very excited about that I talk about in Limitless is something called whole coffee fruit extract. This is the whole fruit that comes from the coffee plant. It's a byproduct of the coffee plant that's usually discarded, but it's an extremely strong antioxidant that has a positive impact on cognitive function. There's something called L-theanine. L-theanine is an amino acid that's found in green tea. It's a very popular nootropic. It promotes relaxation without the drowsiness, and it can enhance your brain function. Probably one of the things that, you know, I've been taking for years and many people have that they take for working out is actually really good for your brain also. And it's probably one of the most researched ingredients is creatine. So creatine is a naturally produced by your body. It's predominantly found in meat and fish, but it plays a crucial role in energy metabolism, especially for your brain. So it can improve your cognitive function, especially your short-term memory. And again, I mentioned turmeric. The active ingredient in turmeric is something called curcumin. And this has very powerful anti-inflammatory and antioxidant benefits. Lion's mane mushroom, we hear a lot about. It's unique, nootropic, has neuroprotective effects. It's been shown to actually stimulate the synthesis of something called nerve growth factor, which enhances your cognition by reducing inflammation and promoting overall brain health. You know, we have a free resource at brainnutrition.com, and people could get all of the supplements along with the human studies. And you could go there and just get this report. It's right out of the book if you don't have the book and benefit from there. That's number 4, brain nutrients. I'm going to go through this really fast.
Okay.
Number 5 is a positive peer group. And I think everyone intuitively knows this, but who you spend time with is who you become. They say we're the average of the 5 people we spend the most time with. that if you're spending time with 9 broke people, be careful because you're going to be number 10. The science reason for this is our nervous system has something called mirror neurons, like when you're checking yourself in the mirror. And what they do is they create empathy and imitation. And so we tend to imitate the people around us. And I'm going to give everyone another acronym. I want everyone on this podcast to feel like they took more notes than ever. Write down the word watch. You want to watch, W-A-T-C-H, it's an acronym. What we tend to imitate around the people we spend time with, the W is words. We tend to use the same language as the people around us use. The A are actions. We tend to behave the same way as the people we spend the most time with. The T and watch are our thoughts. We tend to think the same way and look at the world the same way as the people we spend the most time with. The C is character. We tend to have the same integrity as the people that we spend time with. And finally, the H are habits. I believe first you create your habits and then your habits create you. So it's not just your biological networks or your neurological networks, it's your social networks. Like whether or not you smoke or not has less to do with your biological networks than more does, do your friends smoke? Because you're more likely to smoke. Or if your friends meditate, you're more likely to meditate. If your friends exercise, you're more likely to exercise. And so that's the idea. So 5 is a positive peer group. Because on the other side, I mean, I imagine some of our listeners have energy vampires in their life, you know, family, friends, that kind of, I think some people are batteries included and some people are batteries not included and they like steal your batteries, but not really great for your brain. Number 6 is a clean environment. I realized that your external world is a reflection of your internal world. I mean, how many people have noticed that when they clean their desk or make their bed or put everything in the right folder on their computer, you have clarity of thought? And so you want to Marie Kondo your mind, right? Marie Kondoing your life. I would also say that it's not just organizing, but we've done a series of episodes on our podcast about clean air. Like people don't realize the amount of chemicals in furniture and carpeting and candles and mold. So, you know, you want to be able to clean your environment. So 0 to 10. Number 7 is probably the big one that most people can relate to is sleep. I mean, how does your brain perform when you get a bad night's sleep? You know, how's you're able to focus? How's your ability to think, solve problems? How's your energy level? And so, you know, out from a brain's perspective, the 3 things I want to highlight why sleep is important. Number 1, it's where you consolidate short to long-term memory. So if you have long-term memory issues, maybe you want to do a sleep study. You could do it at home. Your doctor could prescribe it and send it to you. Number 2, when you sleep, the sewage system in your brain kicks in and you clean out beta amyloid plaque that could lead to brain aging challenges. This is something I'm very passionate about because my grandmother passed of Alzheimer's when I was 7 years old. So when I was going through all my struggles, she was the one that was taking care of me. And she started like calling me by my father's name, or she would repeat something she just said 30 seconds ago. And it just really, it informed what I do today. And then finally, it's where you dream. And here's an interesting thought. Your brain doesn't shut off at night. People think it just shuts off, but in some ways it's more active. And what is it doing? It's integrating, it's problem solving, and it's creating. And did you know some of the most amazing works of art and culture were created in people's dreams? Like Mary Shelley created Frankenstein in her dream. Paul McCartney wrote the song Yesterday in his dream. Elias Howe creating the sewing machine in a dream. The chemist created the framework of the periodic table in a dream. But you're not getting those dreams if you're not sleeping well. People could watch a video online, search my name, how to remember dreams, and I'll give you 6 tips on how to remember dreams. But here are my favorite sleep tips that are science-based. Number 1, direct sunlight first thing in the morning, if you can, for at least 10 minutes. Not through the window, because the window will filter out certain spectrums of light. But even if it's hazy or foggy, you'll still get the benefit because your eyes are the only part of your brain that's outside of your skull. And what it does first thing in the morning, it resets your circadian rhythm to help you sleep better that evening. Number 2, everybody has, for the most part, has an alarm to wake up. I recommend having an alarm clock to go to bed. Your brain loves staying on a routine and a schedule, even on the weekends. And nobody does this perfectly. I certainly don't. But to the degree you could go to bed and wake up at the same time will lead to better sleep. And then finally, the last 2 for better sleep. I mean, think about when we're hunter-gatherers. We would know it'd be time to go to sleep because the environment would tell us. there would be a reduction in two environmental factors. It would be light and temperature. And so we generally sleep better at night when it's darker and cooler, not where it's so cold you're shivering and it's keeping you awake. But how do you implement that? You could go into a sauna in the evening or take a warm bath. You could put some Epsom salt, which will help you transdermally. You'll get the absorb the magnesium, which helps you to relax, or take a warm shower. Because when you step out, your core body temperature drops. And that's a signal to produce melatonin, which is the hormone of relaxation. And then as dark as possible. And what's the enemy to that? Probably our screens. A lot of people are on their phones or their iPads or whatever. And the blue light that's emitted from the screen fools your mind into thinking it's still daylight. And so that's why people, have a nighttime function, or they use blue light blocking glasses, or ideally staying off your phone the last hour of the night. So that's number seven, sleep. And then the rest, eight, brain protection. I had three brain injuries before age of 12. We work with a lot of National Hockey League, a lot of athletes, football players, people that have had concussions or TBIs like myself. Your brain is very resilient, but it's very fragile. So, 0 to 10, how well you're protecting your brain. And I would say, wear a helmet. But it's also from things like EMFs, these electromagnetic fields that are coming from our devices. And we don't know, there are no long-term studies, but, some, research suggests that it's not good for your brain. Your brain's very bioelectrical. And what's very concerning, a lot of kids are sleeping with their phones underneath their pillows. And we just don't know that proximity to something so sensitive as your brain, the adverse effects. So that's 0 to 10 on brain protection. And finally, 9 and 10. Number 9 is new learnings. So very important. I would expect everybody here to give themselves a 10. And I think that there's a study done that actually learning every day will help you live longer. They took these nuns that were living 80, 90 and older, and they wanted to find out what was the key to their long life. Half of it, their emotional faith, their gratitude, but the other half, they were lifelong learners. They were studying every day. They're having deep conversations. And because of it, it added years to their life. But not only that, added life to their years. It's on the cover of Time magazine. The study, I love this title of a study. It's called Aging with Grace. And then finally, number 10 is stress management. By the way, for exercise, my favorite exercise by far, everybody wants to know what's the brain training. Reading. Like, if people have seen photos of me with Oprah or Elon or whoever, like, people ask how we bonded and how we connected. We bonded over books, right? Because leaders are readers. I had an opportunity to play some bridge with Warren Buffett. I know I'm dropping some names here because I do it because it'll stand out in people's minds. He reads 500 pages a day, right? You read to succeed. And because knowledge is not only power, knowledge is profit. And if somebody has decades of experience and they put it into a book and you can sit down in a few days and read that book, you could download decades of wisdom in days. It's a huge advantage, but also it's great mental exercise. And then finally, number 10 is stress management. This is the invisible villain that sometimes we don't realize how stressed we are. Emotional stress, financial stress, relationship stress, environmental stress. And so on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the best, how well are you coping with stress? Because chronic stress has been shown to shrink our brains. It puts you in fight or flight, and you create this cortisol and adrenaline, it shrinks your brain. And so what are we doing to mitigate that stress? And some people, it's walking in nature. Some people, it's getting a massage. For me, it happens to be, I need my 20 minutes of meditation a day to kind of disconnect so I could reconnect. But everybody has different dance, music, everybody has something different. But yeah, 0 to 10, 10 being the best, how well are you coping with stress? Because everybody wants to know, like, what's the one key or what's the one magic pill? There's no pill, but Mariana, there's a process. And people could do all of this, eat the best diet, get the best nutrients, and not be sleeping. And that could throw them off tilt. Or they could sleep and, have great diet and manage their stress, but they're around energy vampires, that are just, taking away their energy and their dreams. So, be conscious of these choices. There's a quote in Limitless that says, and I would challenge everyone to write this down, life is the letter C between B and D. Life is C between B and D, where B stands for birth and D stands for death. Life C, choice. That I believe these difficult times, they could distract you. These difficult times can diminish you, or these difficult times, they could develop you. We decide. And so in these 10 categories, what's one choice you could make, you know, to have a better, brighter brain?
In so many episodes, when I've talked to healthcare experts or people that I really respect in this field, they keep talking about collagen and how important it is for our age and our skin, especially as we age. And so for me, I've really tried to incorporate this as part of my supplement routine for many years and just really making it easy for me, especially on the go. And if you've still been like, okay, do I need to take this? Is this for me? Did you know that after the age of 21, you start losing 1% of collagen every year? Collagen is so important for your skin because it gives natural support and firmness for your face. If you want to try something, BioCell is a premium product that helps you generate your own collagen. It also helps protect the collagen that you already have. And this brand is backed by science with over 30 years and $30 million in research. And there's real results with this because BioCell is clinically proven to work for healthier hair, skin, and nails. It increases skin elasticity by 89% and decreases the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles by 30%. It's also so easy to take. They have these liquid capsules that are smaller than a penny, and you just take one capsule two times a day. You could take one in the morning and one before bed. You can buy online or on BioCell's website, biocell.beauty, or at your local retailer. This discount code is only valid online at biocell.beauty. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. Get 30% off your first product order on BioCell's website with code Mariana. Again, that's 30% off your first order or subscription exclusively on biocell.beauty. These are 10 really great things that I think we could all be incorporating. And I give myself a good score, but I know there's room for improvement. And a few of these things here, I feel like are out of my control. I do try to, you know, eat my best and take care of my sleep. Ants is one that I want to go back to because negative thoughts, a lot of us have them and we can't avoid them. So if negative thoughts come around, like how can we best deal with the negative thoughts so that it's not hurting our brains?
Yeah. So we have about 60,000 thoughts a day. And the challenge is 95% of those thoughts are the same thoughts we had yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. So if you want to make a positive change, you need to think differently. But yet the majority of our thinking is the same every day. You know, there are a number of things I could recommend. I mentioned meditation, and meditation for me is not about being enlightened. It's an exercise to really hone my focus, meaning that if I'm silent and just kind of sitting or laying down and my thoughts go somewhere else, I bring it back to my breath, or I bring it back to a word like a mantra. And what I'm doing is I'm exercising and flexing my focus muscles instead of my distraction muscles. So later on when I'm distracted on a Zoom call or whatever, I train myself to bring back to the current present. But the other reason why I meditate is because I realize that I kind of visualize these thoughts coming through like clouds, and they just pass by. And realizing that we are not our thoughts, you know, and that it's not about controlling your thoughts. It's more realizing that your thoughts don't have to control you, if that makes sense. And then the number one way to change something, the first step is always awareness, being aware that you do have these thoughts. And then doing the best, I use an acronym called ABRA, like magic, abracadabra. The A stands for you acknowledge it. You have, let's say, that negative thought, acknowledge it, right? You don't fight it, because what you resist persists. It's like saying, don't think of a big purple giraffe. You know, for $1 million, don't think of a big purple giraffe. Everyone's going to think about it, right? So the more you resist, the more it persists. So I would say A in ABRA, you acknowledge it. The B, the power of breath. You know, it's just been around for thousands of years. The breath is kind of like the bridging station between like our conscious and our unconscious. It's something we do unconsciously, you know, tens of thousands of times a day, but it's something we could also control. And so what I do is I imagine that I have that thought, which doesn't serve me. I acknowledge it, so I don't fight it. And I breathe into it, and I just imagine where it is in my body. And then the R is you release. When I release it and I breathe out, I'm breathing out, you know, that thought. And then the A, the last A in ABRA, is I align. I realign with the truth, which is usually 180 degrees opposite of whatever that negative thought happens to be. And it's a simple exercise, but there's so many different ways. People use self-hypnosis, they use EMDR, tapping. There's something called EFT, emotional freedom technique, where you're tapping on certain points on the body while you're repeating these thoughts, and it helps you to break the pattern and get in a safe place where you could come up with something that's more empowering. Yeah, it's interesting. It's this whole area called metacognition, which is thinking about your thinking. And I think we need to be very conscious. If you truly understood, again, how powerful your mind is, you probably wouldn't think or say something you didn't want to be true. And again, nobody does this perfect. It's just we're all works in progress. But the awareness and then doing something to edit that thought, I think is useful exercises.
And you've mentioned meditation a few times. Are you doing transcendental meditation, or what types or styles do you do?
Yeah, for me, it's very basic. On our podcast, we've had a number of meditation experts. For me, I just need 20 minutes. And what I do is I don't play any music. I lie down or I sit down and I really focus on my breath. The key is you have four primary brainwave states. All right. So if you're hooked up to an EEG, you have beta, which we're hopefully all in, which is when you're awake. Delta is on the other side when you're asleep. And the two states in between are actually states of transformation. So right above the delta state is something called theta. And I'll answer your question for meditation. Theta is a state of creativity. Have you ever noticed, Mariana, like when you're kind of in and out of sleep, you're also coming up with all these ideas? It's the creative state, and all learning is state dependent. Or maybe you're showering. Have you ever noticed you come up with a lot of ideas and you're more creative, like when you're taking a shower?
Yes, both of these, especially at night. So then I end up thinking of them, yeah. And then I wake up in the morning, like I have to send this email right now of all these ideas I have.
Exactly, because you entered the theta state. I took six showers just to prepare for this conversation with you. But the water puts you into a theta state, and that's when you're most creative. So when we help people to write or to create music or what have you, we put people into a theta state, and it just happens more naturally. It's a slower brainwave state than what we're in right now. And right between beta and theta is the final state called alpha. And the alpha state is a state of relaxed awareness. To learn languages, we put people in that state and they learn languages more rapidly. Because basically in an alpha state, you're so relaxed, your conscious mind, imagine, is set aside and you just take in information unfiltered and unencumbered, if that makes sense. So hypnosis, if anyone's gone to a trained hypnotherapist, they help you to reframe negative thoughts and experiences and feelings because they put you into an alpha state where you're breathing slower and you imagine, visualize going down a staircase or an elevator, but then you're more open. It's like your neuronal network is uncoupled and you're more open to suggestion, right? That's how stage hypnosis, like entertainers, can get people to bark like a dog or sing like Elvis, that kind of thing, because you're very suggestible. And so meditation puts you in that alpha state. It's a relaxed state of awareness. You're in that parasympathetic rest and digest. And so for me, for to meditate, the three things that would get you into an alpha state or, you know, basic things: breathing, like conscious breathing, especially deep diaphragmic breathing, slow breathing on the exhale, especially. Number two, visualization. When you visualize things like going down that escalator or walking in nature, it'll help you get into alpha state. And then finally, certain music. Like we know nature sounds will put you in a more relaxed state of awareness, but also classical music, especially in a specific era of classical music, Baroque era, like Vivaldi, Handel. What they found is it's in that era, the music is about 60 beats per minute and it harmonizes with the resting heart rate, 60 beats per minute. And notice that is visualization, breathing, and music. That's visualization, it's like visual. And then the music is auditory and the breathing is kinesthetic. So you're using like three of your senses to really stack to get into that state of alpha where you're relaxed and you learn faster. And again, theta is a state. If alpha, you're absorbing information faster, theta is a state where you're pulling information out and being more creative. And delta is a state where you is really slow and you're sleeping.
Well, I could talk to you forever because I have so many follow-up questions. But one that I want to go to was back to the beginning when you said you would speak to groups of audiences and you would memorize 100 names and say it back. And so many of us have a hard time even remembering 5-10 names that we just met. I know these are all really great tips for our brain health, but do you have any tips for us for memory?
Absolutely. So let's apply it towards remembering names. I think most people, 95% of the people in audiences usually raise their hand when they say, when I ask them if they're, you know, if they have trouble remembering names. Well, first, I think motivation is a big part of it. I teach people the acronym MOM, and I use a lot of acronyms to just kind of a shortcut. We did it back in school. So the first M is motivation, meaning if somebody had a suitcase, and I know you have an audience worldwide. So imagine a suitcase full of cash. Money. If you just remember the name of the next person you meet, who's going to remember that person's name?
Everyone.
Everybody, right? So it had nothing to, as a brain coach, I want to call people on their BS, you know, because that's what a coach does. BS stands for belief systems. So it's not true you can't remember names. You can if you're motivated, because you don't remember all names, but you certainly don't forget all names either. And think about it. I think genius leaves clues that when you do something well, there's something that's there. There's a method behind the magic. In this case, you're motivated. Like maybe you're attracted to the person, or maybe that person could be good for your business or a referral or whatever. And so lean into the motivation by asking yourself, when you're meeting somebody for the first time, ask yourself, why? Start with why. Why do I want to remember this person's name? So simple, right? But it's so simple. A lot of people won't do it. So ask yourself why. Maybe it's to show the person respect. Maybe it's to get a referral. Maybe it's to practice these things. You know, I learned from Jim, right? Because everyone can just write this down. Reasons reap results. I believe that things have to go from your head to your heart to your hands. Meaning you could set goals, and I'm sure we all have in our head, you know, or resolutions or some kind of KPIs or vision in your head. But if you're not acting with your hands, right? You have to check in with the second H, which is our heart, right? The symbol of emotions. And the key to a long-term memory, everyone, information by itself is forgettable, but information combined with emotion becomes unforgettable. You have three parts of your brain. And the middle brain is, you have things like, you have like a part of your brain that looks like a seahorse, and it's called the hippocampus. And that's the function is memory. Attached to it is a little like almond-shaped part of your brain, and that's your amygdala, which is like a switching station for emotions. But notice that memory and emotions are linked, you know, in your brain. Everyone knows this. You could hear, I'm sure there's a song that could take you back to when you're a teenager, right? Or a food or a fragrance that could take you back to when you're a child, because the information by itself is forgettable, but information combined with emotions become unforgettable. So going back to motivation are the set of emotions that you feel. And without that reason, you won't get the result or the reward. The O in MOM is observation. And I just want to point this out, that a lot of people aren't forgetting a name. They're just not hearing the name. And the art of memory is the art of attention. The art of memory is the art of attention. I remember I was at an event. It was a fundraiser. It was 2,000 people. I go to my assigned table for dinner, and I'm the first one there. And then afterwards, Forrest Whitaker, the actor, sits right next to me. And then Richard Branson sits next to him. And then Ashton Kutcher and Ashton's twin brother sit down. And then President Clinton sits right next to me. And I had met him a few years earlier, just very briefly. And when he sat down, he addressed me by name. And I was like, wow. And then I was like, oh, okay, he knew who he was sitting with, right? And then I swear he picks up the conversation we had 3 years earlier, and nobody told him that, right? Because nobody was listening to that conversation. And I was like, I'm the memory guy. I need to know how you're doing this. And he tells me this story about his grandfather in Arkansas telling stories in the living room to the children. And he did something different. After he told his story, he would quiz each of them to see if they were paying attention. And I realize that as he's explained this to me in a room full of 2,000 people that are more important than I am, I feel like I'm the only one in the room. Have you ever met somebody like that where you just feel like they're so present? Yeah. And he just, you know, and I obviously at that table, a lot of important people, but I felt like I was the only one. And regardless of politics, people would say Clinton has high charisma, you know, a great connector, very charming. But he also has an incredible memory. And I think his incredible memory and his powerful presence comes from being powerfully present. His incredible memory and his powerful presence with people comes from being powerfully present with people. Because often, you know, I live in New York and LA for the past 12 years. And, you know, when I'm out, sometimes it's like people are looking over your shoulder, seeing who's more important in the room. And it's this whole game. And I just feel like sometimes we're just not listening. And if anything, we're thinking about how we're going to respond. And so the O in mom is observation. So be motivated to remember a name by asking questions in terms of the reward you get from remembering. The O is observation, paying attention. Even if you imagine the word listen, or you write down the word listen, here's a brain exercise. Scramble the letters and listen, and it spells another word perfectly. It spells the word silent perfectly. And so I think just being silent will help you to remember. And then the M, the last M in mom, are methods. And those are all the strategies we have in our podcasts and our books, courses. But one method everyone can remember is to be suave. Remember the word suave. Next time you're out and about, you're at a wedding, you're at a party, you check yourself in the mirror, suave. Yes, say the name. Somebody tells you, introduce themselves, repeat the name back and say hello using their name. The U is you use the name. Use it 3 or 4 times in the conversation, right? Because that repetition does help. You don't abuse it though. Don't use it in every sentence. The A is you ask. This works very well for people that you meet and they have unusual names. What can you ask about a person's name? Things like, who are you named after? How do you spell it? You know, where is it from? What does it mean, right? Remember, sweetest sound to a person's ear is their name. And then finally, the V and the E, the V is visualize. How many people listening, they're better with faces than they are with names?
Mother's Day is coming up. It is only a few weeks away. And I know I still need to do a little bit of shopping for my mom and some of the moms in my life. I have so many various moms, from new moms, friends that are expecting, and my own mom who's been a mom for many years, but she still deserves the most amazing gifts. If you guys are looking to shop for something and you don't know what to get, Macy's Mother's Day Gift Guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, like $25 and under $100. They have so many categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. And if you're stumped for gifts, they have gift lists, which just makes shopping a whole lot easier. They have gifts for moms who have everything, gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted, and even for grandma, which is really important in your life. You can find gifts from perfume, handbags, and even things for the home. If you guys want to shop these and more, you guys can go to macys.com/giftfinder. And I would definitely recommend going to shop by the gift list because it just makes shopping so much easier if you don't know where to get started and you need some inspiration while shopping for Mother's Day. That's macys.com/giftfinder. I'm one of those people. Yeah. I can remember every detail. I know things. I can tell you where you went on vacation and the last thing you talked to me about and the thing you were wearing and then names. I think that it's because one time I was talking to a girl and she has a sister that looked just like her. And I said hi to her and I called her by her sister's name. And she was so offended that I called her by her sister's name. And it was an honest mistake that in my mind now, I have this fear of calling people the wrong name that I just never say it at all anymore. And then it's basically taught me that I'm nervous to say your name. So I'm not going to remember it because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
And that's good for Marianne. When you're meeting somebody for the first time, you could say the name because you repeat it. So, and I like doing that up front because you meet somebody, you want to, and you say hello, because you don't want to have a 20-minute conversation with Ted and say goodbye, Ed. So, you know, I say it right up front because a lot of times when you're meeting people, you're at a party or an event and there's ambient noise and you want to make sure you heard it correctly. And then if you use it, you kind of ingrain it even more. The V is visualized. So that means you tend to remember faces better than the names themselves, right? You go to somebody and say, I remember your face, but I forgot your name. You never go to someone and say the opposite. You never go to someone and say, I remember your name, but I forgot your face. You know, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. There's a proverb, a Chinese proverb that says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. And what I do, I understand. What I hear, I forget. I heard the name, I forgot it. What I see, I remember. I saw the face, I remember the face. And what I do, going back to the power practice, is what you really understand. So if you tend to remember what you see, then my suggestion is try seeing what you want to remember. So if you meet somebody named Matt, in for a split second, like I just met Matt today, I imagine I'm using their tie as a doormat in the privacy of my own mind. I'm not sharing it with them. But because I could hear it from them and then see a picture and then feel something funny, I'm more likely to remember it. You meet someone named Mark, and I imagine for a split second putting a check mark on their forehead, right? Completely childish, but how fast do children learn, right? How fast can a child learn a musical instrument or learn another language? So they're very playful. Person's name is Mary. I imagine them carrying two lambs, for Mary had a little lamb. And then, because when I leave that party and I see that woman, and what was she doing carrying those lambs? What's her name? Mary. And even when it doesn't work, it works because it gets you to focus on the person and it gets you to focus on the name. You know, this technique is to overcome what I call the 6 second syndrome. Somebody tells you their name and you have 6 seconds to do something with it. Otherwise, it's gone. As soon as the handshake breaks, it's like falls through the floor. And so you can be creative. I meet someone named David. I just imagine a slingshot, you know, right to their nose for David and Goliath, right? I meet someone named Bob and they're bobbing for apples. You know, someone named Mike, they're jumping on the table, singing karaoke on a microphone. Someone named Carol and they're singing Christmas carols, right? You just kind of make this up and it makes it more fun. You're not sharing with everybody, but it's a means to an end, because once you know the person's name, the picture disappears, right? It's just a way of encoding, storing, so you can retrieve it, you know, faster. So that's the V, is visualize the person's name. And finally, the E is end in suave. So end the conversation saying goodbye using their name. Because imagine this, everybody, if you could walk into a room of strangers, like say 20 strangers, and leave saying goodbye to every single one of them by name, who are they all going to remember? Right? They're all going to remember you. And that's a standout skill. Remember, regardless of your profession, you have a relationship with a human being. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's really hard to show someone you're going to care for their business, their future, their health, their family, whatever you have to offer them, if you don't care enough just to remember them. So I think, you know, your ability to remember names is one of the most important business etiquette networking skills there is.
Well, I'm going to apply a lot of these things to my life, and I definitely have to have you back on again because there's so much more that I have to ask you. But in the meantime, where can everyone listen to your podcast and buy your book?
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I would imagine we have a quiz I challenge everyone to take. I realize it's not how smart you are. It's how are you smart? Just like there's personalized medicine or personalized nutrition, we create personalized learning. And so we have an assessment at mybrainanimal.com. It's free for your listeners as a thank you for having me on your show, mybrainanimal.com. And it's a 4-minute assessment to show you what your dominant brain type is. You know, are you an action-oriented cheetah? Are you a creative dolphin? Are you a logical owl? Are you an empathetic elephant? And once you know what your animal is, we give you a blueprint for how to read faster, improve your memory, focus better, parent better, hire better based on brain types. So I encourage everyone to do that. And then they could post their picture of it online, because we give you this original kind of art, and tag us both there so we can see which most of your community animal brain type there is. And then if they tag us, we'll get to see it. I'll repost some of them and then we'll gift out a few copies of Limitless to your community as a thank you. But yeah, my name's Jim Quick. Yes, it's really my last name. I didn't change it to do what I do. It's my father's name, my grandfather's name, K-W-I-K. People want to tag us on Instagram or TikTok or wherever people are. And then we have a podcast. If people love podcasts, we've done 400 episodes. Every episode's 20 minutes or less. And so you can search my name in a podcast app. And obviously our book is everywhere that you buy books, and we donate 100% of the proceeds to charity for children's education. We built schools in Ghana and Guatemala and Kenya, Alzheimer's research for women in memory of my grandmother. But it's been a real pleasure to be on your show. I want to thank you so much for the great work you are. I mentioned this before we started taping. You're an inspiring force of nature. So congratulations on everything. And I just want to remind everybody that your brain, I'm always wearing a brain on my shirt or pointing my brain in pictures, because what you see, you take care of. You see your skin, your hair, your clothes, your car, but we don't see the thing that takes care of us. So know your brain, trust your brain, love your brain. And there's a version of yourself that's patiently waiting. And the goal is we show up every single day until we're introduced. So I love being on this adventure with all of you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jim. This was great. Thanks so much for listening. And be sure to subscribe to my podcast and rate and review, because it would mean so much to me. And follow me on Instagram at @Mariana_Hewitt to see what episodes are coming up next.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.